Welcome to Press Any Button. I am Eric.
And I'm Nikki.
And today we're talking about Plants vs. Zombies. Plants vs. Zombies is a tower defense game published by PopCap Games. In this game, you must protect your home from hordes of zombies by tending to your garden. With the help from your neighbor Crazy Dave and your magical plants, you can keep the zombies from murdering you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's crazy intense, right?
Yeah. It's lots of murder in this game.
Yeah. So much murder. All right. You ready to get into it?
Sure.
All right. Lego.
So, Nikki, why don't you tell us about the history of Plants vs. Zombies?
Okay. Oh, my gosh. I was, like, totally not prepared to do this or anything. But I guess I'll just, you know, do it off the top of my head.
I don't believe you weren't prepared because I see that long paper you have in your hand.
What? Okay. Anyways, all right, so I actually would like to start about a month before the game was released because they actually came out with a music video for a song called Zombies on Your Lawn, and that was released April 1st, 2009 as a commercial slash trailer slash promo for the game.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I remember the song. It's a pretty catchy song.
Yeah, and so if you like the song, or if you know of it, or if you just want to go on YouTube and listen to it, it's really a great song. But I just want to bring it up because the woman who wrote the music for the song, her name is Laura Shigahara, and she actually does all of the music for the entire video game.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, I wanted to plug that in because, you know, females doing their stuff in video games is always cool. I always want to point that kind of stuff out if I can. But also, if you want to watch the music video, we'll put that in our show notes.
Is she just the composer, or is that her voice singing from the Sunflower?
That's actually her voice.
Okay.
So she does all the music and sounds, I guess, for the game and for that music video. But yeah, that was released April 1st, 2009. And then the actual game was released May 5th, 2009 by PopCap Games, and it was originally made available on Steam and Mac OS.
Okay, so it hadn't made its way to, like, tablets and cell phones and stuff?
Not yet, but that's where I want to go right now, because fast forward to 2010, and the game really did some, like, major expanding for just, like, where you could play it on. So I'm going to do a brief, quick history of what happened in 2010 and after. Or not after, but just bear with me. I'm doing a brief history of how they expanded after that initial debut.
Well, I wasn't prepared to bear with you, but I guess I'll try to find the energy within me.
You can do it. All right. So February 2010... they released the iPhone version for iOS. September 2010, they released an Xbox Live Arcade version. January 2011, they released a Nintendo DS version. February 2011, PS3. May 2011, Android. And actually, in February 2012, they even made a version for BlackBerry. You remember that old phone?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
So they did some crazy growing, you know, 2010, 2011, and even 2012. Like, went from being available basically just on your computer to being available almost everywhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, I played it originally on my iPad, so I guess that's the iOS version. But yeah, that's pretty crazy, huh?
Yeah, it's like there's probably just a group of people, like, porting it, and it's like, all right, here's the next one we're gonna port to, here's the next one we're gonna port to, and just, like, learning how to get all these different ports wired in.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was pretty interesting. I feel like this game is definitely targeted more towards, like, cell phone or computer gameplay than it is, like, on PlayStation or Xbox.
Yeah,
but not that it wouldn't work for those, it's just, like, I guess it was originally like maybe when they were creating the game, they had a computer in mind or something. I don't know.
Yeah, the game mechanisms seem to play really well on like a tablet or cell phone.
Yeah. All right, so moving on. Plants vs. Zombies director George Fan, and yes, that's his real name, was inspired to make a tower defense game, aka this game, by one, his past game called Insane Aquarium, which is all one word, not two words. It's like Insane Aquarium.
Okay, so he spelled it wrong.
Yeah, he totally spelled it wrong, which was actually an aquarium simulator game. And also while he was playing Warcraft 3 tower defense mods, apparently he looked at the towers and thought, hey, plants would make good towers.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, some of those Warcraft 3 tower defense mods were like really, really well done. I think of one that we were playing back in college called Shopping Mall.
Shopping Mall?
Shopping Mall. Yeah, okay. So you had like JCPenney's and like a bunch of different stores. Oh, and they God. All had different types of towers and stuff. And you would work together, I guess, to kind of defend your areas against, you know, hordes coming
like
in.
Like crazy shoppers or something, where like the hordes of people
would be like, the hordes would be like shoppers or something.
But like yeah. It was Black Friday or something, you had to defend off all the crazy shoppers.
And there's so many good Warcraft 3 tower defense mods, so that's not surprising.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I mean, I've never played those games, so I don't really even know what they are, but I like the fact that he was inspired by a lot of different games to make this game. And we'll get into some more of the games and inspired some of the stuff later when I move on to the fun facts.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
But anyways, so in 2013, the sequel, Plants vs. Zombies 2, came out. That was the first of many other games that would be in this series, I guess
you would say. Yeah. I don't know. I only really, really played the second one a little bit. I felt like it started going downhill at that point. I never really played much of the other games after that. So
yeah.
Maybe it's recovered since then. Maybe it's...
I've heard some good things about like the newer games and stuff. But actually in 2014, Plants vs. Zombies got its first spinoff game called Garden Warfare, which is a revamp of the game's formula because it changes the tower defense style to a consistently online third-person shooter game where you can... Huh. Yeah, so where you can control the plants and the zombies.
Sounds interesting. Was anybody, like, really asking for that? It seems, like, so random.
Well,
like,
there's two of them now. There's a Plants vs. Zombie Garden Warfare 1 and 2. So, I guess people liked it. Yeah, I mean, sounds kind of, like, interesting. I would try it out.
It seems so weird because, you know, the plants are completely stationary and, like, a third-person shooter. I guess the plants move in the
Yeah,
this
maybe
game.
You can aim... like point the plants in a direction or something, you know?
Okay, yeah.
I haven't played that one, but I definitely am interested. I might play it, you know, next or something because it sounds fun.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
Yeah, but anyways, this game has a lot of different spinoffs, including Plants vs. Zombies Heroes, Plants vs. Zombies Battle for Neighborville. On their website, it looked like there was 6 or 7 different ones.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, and that doesn't include all the different versions of the game for, like, Android, you know, iPhone, all that stuff, too.
Yeah.
Because I kind of forgot to mention earlier when I was talking about the timeline for when they came out with, you know, the iPhone version and the Xbox version and all that. But a lot of those versions would have unique content just for that version of the game.
Okay.
So that is kind of cool. I guess that would be one reason to motivate people to buy it on multiple different consoles or different like platforms.
Yeah, I get
that. Because you're going to get more different content or whatever. So
yeah, slightly more added content. I guess that would push some really hardcore fans over the edge maybe.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, that's pretty much what I found for the history of Plants vs. Zombies. Are you ready for fun facts?
Oh yeah, let's do some fun facts.
All right, so fun fact number one, the game was originally called Weedlings. Yeah. But as the tower defense concept took off, and the personality of the game as a whole evolved. The title was later changed.
Weedlings. I kind of like Weedlings.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Plants vs. Zombies, it's like you know where you're getting with that title, you know? Yeah. Weedlings, that could be a lot of different things.
Yeah.
That could just be a gardening game, honestly.
I think the title, Plants vs. Zombies, is probably better.
Yeah. Fun fact number two. In addition to Insane Aquarium and Warcraft 3, the game was also inspired by Magic the Gathering and our classic favorite, Tapper. If you listen to our bonus episode of the history of beer and video games,
we briefly mentioned Tapper.
We briefly talk about Tapper. But anyways, the developer George Fan was playing Magic the Gathering with his girlfriend, and he actually liked, I guess, the aspect of having to build your deck.
Yeah.
And so that's where he got the inspiration for having to build your seed packets in the game.
Okay. Yeah, I get it because, you know, the plants and zombies are presented on cards like you are building your deck, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And so if you're listening and you haven't played the game, like before each round, you basically get to pick which plants you want to play for that round. But you only have, what, like 7 or 8 slots. So you can only pick 7 or 8 plants, but there's maybe 20 to 30 plants to choose from.
Yeah. And
so you have to pick.
You also get a glimpse at what types of zombies you're going to be coming. So you can pick out your plants based on what you know is going to show up.
Yeah, which is super helpful because if there's like a pole vaulting zombie or something like that, there's specific plants that will help you for specific zombies. So.
Yep.
Fun fact number three, and I think you'll really like this one, Eric. The gravestone inscriptions, expired, ceased to exist, just resting, etc., were all taken from Monty Python's Dead Parrot sketch.
That's pretty cool.
So I guess George was a fan of Monty Python. I mean, really, who isn't? They're hilarious. But I thought that was really cool because I didn't really even like pay that much attention to the gravestones. Other than, like, getting rid of them.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really read them much either. But, yeah, that is pretty neat.
Yeah, I love when video games put little, like, Easter eggs or, like, just little things in there that hint at what the developer likes or whatever. I think it's really fun.
Yeah, that is fun.
Fun fact number four. First, I want to say, how many types of zombies do you think there are? Unless you count it and you know.
I'm going to say 30, maybe?
26. Pretty close.
Okay.
And how many plants do you think there are?
30, maybe?
49. So, yeah.
Wow.
So, there are 26 types of zombies and 49 perennials. I want to ask, what's your favorite zombie?
Ooh, good question.
What's your favorite plant?
I kind of like the professor zombie. When you knock the newspaper out of his hands, he kind of goes into a rage. I'm trying to think. There are some other ones too.
I really like the dancing zombie and the backup dancer zombies. They kind of work together. So if you don't kill like the lead dancer, he'll call in his backup dancers.
Yeah, he'll keep spawning more backup dancers. It's pretty funny. Yeah.
Yeah, and I like the chomper plant. Like, what's your favorite plant? Do you think?
Ooh, that is a good question.
Because for me, like, the chomper plant reminds me of Aubrey 2 from Little Shop of Horrors. You know, the plant from Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
Feed Miss Seymour. Chomper reminds me of that plant, and so I just love it for that reason.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like the tall nuts.
The tall nuts?
Yeah, the tall
nuts. That's the ones that can block the pole vaulting zombies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like walnuts, but tall.
Yeah. Those are really helpful. All right. And for the last fun fact number 5, Crazy Dave's real name is Christopher David Blazing the Third.
Wait, what was that again? Christopher?
No, it's like Christopher, but Crazetopher.
Crazetopher.
Yes, Crazetopher. So Crazetopher David Blazing the Third.
Blazing?
That's his full name.
This is his last name?
Yeah. No wonder they just call him Crazy Dave, because yeah, that's a, such a crazy, I guess, appropriate name for Crazy Dave, because it's a crazy name.
It's pretty
yeah,
funny.
But that's pretty much what I got for fun facts, history, past, whatever you want to call it. But
nice, yeah.
I think the game is pretty interesting as a whole. It's just kind of cool reading about everything that inspired George to make the game, and just kind of how random it is of the games that did inspire him to do that.
Yeah, that is cool. It's a really, really good game. I really enjoyed it. What are some of the things that you like about the game?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the game too. One of the things that I really like is that the game is challenging yet fun. And when I was doing my research for the podcast, one of George fans' goals for making this game was to appeal to advanced gamers, but also new gamers as well. And yeah. So he tried to make it to where it gradually gets harder over time, and you don't need any tutorials to like pick up on what's going on. You just kind of learn over time from playing the game.
Yeah.
And I really like that, because I'll always skip tutorials.
Yeah.
I'm just like, F it, I'll learn as I go. And sometimes that bites me in the ass, but that's just my personality. You know, I'd rather just learn as I go than take separate time to do like a class, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I actually had that as a pro. Like, the difficulty curve is just really, really good on this game. It feels great. Like the ramp up, like how it gets...
Yeah, the progression.
How it goes from easier to harder. Like, it's really, really well done.
Yeah, I agree. Another thing I really like is just the creative concept. Like, I never would think of plants versus zombies. Honestly, it doesn't seem like a fair fight. You know, like, what are plants going to do? But in this game, they designed it really well. They were really creative with just all the different kinds of zombies and the different kinds of plants that they were able to come up with.
And I just love that fact, like, just throwing like a road cone on a zombie's head, like, gives it a ridiculous amount of extra hit points.
Yeah, or like just a bucket. Yeah.
Yeah, just silly stuff like that. So it's like, really? Is that really going to help you? All right. I guess the game says so.
Yeah, they just like the Zamboni driver zombie. That's another one that I really like.
Yeah.
But that makes sense. You know, I think that would actually protect you a little bit more than like a traffic cone on your head. But, you know, it's silly and they keep it fun and cute. And, you know, like most zombie games obviously are very graphic and like hardcore, like realistic. This is not that.
Yeah, that was actually another one of my pros, is the game is funny and lighthearted, which makes sense because, you know, the concept is so ridiculous. But also kind of a nice change of pace from other zombie games that tend to take themselves very, very seriously.
Exactly. Yeah, this is not scary at all, in case you were wondering. But yeah, another thing I really like about the game is that it's pretty accessible. Like, you don't have to have a gaming console to play this game. If you have a phone, you can play it, which almost everyone has a phone. I like that people who aren't as into gaming can play this game too, because it's available on like a lot of different platforms.
Yeah, and it seems like it would be pretty good for like an iPad or something.
Yeah, actually, the first time I played it was on iPad, and it was pretty perfect for the touch screen, really, because you're just placing your plants like where you want them. So
yeah,
that works great. Also, you don't need to be online while you're playing this game. So one of the reasons I got it is because we were about to take a trip to like California or something, I think, and I was trying to find games I could play on the plane that I didn't need to be online for, because like nowadays almost all games like involve you playing with people online. And so
yeah,
this one's a good one if you just need a good travel game to play while you're on the airport.
Yeah.
Or while you're on the airplane.
It's a really nice single player game. So what else did you like about the game?
I like that it doesn't take too long to play through it. You know, I'd say a couple days a week you can get through this game, playing it casually. If you really wanted to, you could probably beat it in like a day or two. But it's not like a super long game, you know?
I have seen speedruns where people beat it in, you know, a few hours, I think.
Oh, a few hours?
No, actually, was it 3 or 4 hour speedrun?
Okay, that sounds a little more realistic, because, I mean, there's only so much speeding up you can do in the game.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of it's on a timer, I guess, you would say.
That's true. There are little things you can do, like, the faster, you know, you kill all the zombies in one group, the quicker you'll get to spawn the big wave that comes.
Oh, okay.
So, like, you know how it will kind of wait till that last zombie dies before it will say, like, a big wave of zombies is coming.
Oh,
so
okay.
If you can kind of kill that guy quicker, or the last few guys quicker. And then same thing with the last wave. If you take, like, a bomb or something, a cherry bomb or something, and just kind of, like, blow the last few up, you can kind of trigger the end of the level quicker.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I kind of want to watch some speedruns of this game, because it would be interesting to see, like, what they do to make it faster. I really didn't think about that until just now, but yeah, that makes sense. I guess, yeah, there's some stuff you could do to make it a little bit faster, but I don't know. I still don't think you could play through it in a couple hours. I think probably 3 or 4 would be like
minimum. I think that's right. It's probably never going to be a couple hours, but unless they find some crazy glitches or something.
Yeah, I think this game is another good one too, that's good for a wide range of ages, you know?
Yeah.
It's not scary. It's not super hard. I definitely think, like, a older elementary school kid could probably play this and, like, up, you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, not too little, because you do need to be able to do some strategy and be able to comprehend, like, and remember what all the plants do. But so, I think definitely, like, 4th grade, 5th grade, you could play this game.
So not a toddler.
Probably not. I don't think a toddler's going to have the attention span for this. They could probably play, but I don't think they would beat a level.
So you heard it from here first. This game is not for toddlers.
Hey, I don't know. Let your toddlers play it, and if they are good at it, let me know. Because if so, like, I think that would be kind of cool.
And we'll also have to issue a retraction.
Exactly. A very serious retraction. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, it's good for kids, but also adults, because I really enjoyed it too. I think that's kind of hard for games to accomplish sometimes, but this one does a really good job.
Yeah, I agree with you. One of the things I liked was just during the campaign, it will throw in these mini games that kind of give you a break from the main style of play.
Oh, yeah, like bowling.
Yeah, in some cases where they'll just, like, give you plants.
Yeah.
Where you don't have to, like, sit there and gather sunlight or whatever. You can, they'll just be like a conveyor and you'll just pick them off the conveyor. And some of the mini games are a lot of fun, and they really do give you a nice break from, I would say, like, the monotony of the game, but it's not that bad. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not, monotony sounds like it,
I guess,
it's a bad
just
game.
A little bit of a break from having to, like, choose your cards.
Yeah.
Because basically they just give you your cards and you get to pick when you want to play them or where to put them.
Yeah, exactly. One of the other pros I had was the game is small in size. Like, I think it's only a few hundred megabytes or something like that. So it doesn't take up a bunch of space on your iPad or computer or cell phone or whatever thing you have it on.
Yeah, that's pretty important. Especially if you don't have, like, cloud storage or anything. You just have the storage on your phone. That stuff goes away fast.
Yeah, so I kind of like having games be efficient with their space.
Yeah.
I don't need another 100 gigabyte game.
That's true. There's not really a lot of, like, special effects going on in this game or anything, so I can't think of any reason why it wouldn't be a small file size.
Yeah, and it's a very simple art style, and it's a good art style. Like, I like the art style.
Yeah, I do too. It's very well designed.
So what are some things that you didn't like about the game?
Honestly, there's really not a lot that I don't like about this game, other than, I mean, I have, like, one con, and it's just it could be maybe a little more challenging, or maybe they could offer, you know how, like, certain games like God of War or something like that, when you start the game, you can kind of pick your experience level. So if you want to pick easy mode, you can. But if you want to just go hardcore, you can pick the God mode level or whatever.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's going to be a lot harder. Like, I think this game could do with something like that. And then that way, if you're playing it again, or I mean, I know when you play it like the second time through, they do, the game does make it a little bit harder.
Yeah, it does get harder the second time.
But I just think they should offer like a hard mode just for people that really want to like test their skills.
Yeah, I agree. Anything that kind of like makes things go quicker, I'm in favor of.
Other than that, I don't have a lot of other, or I don't really don't have any other cons. Like, I really liked this game. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I didn't have very many cons either. I had a couple. I can say, like, the early level strategies can feel a bit repetitive. So, like, at the very beginning of the level, where you're just kind of, like, planting some flowers and gathering sunlight.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, because, like, they're trying to do the tutorial thing, you know?
Well, no, it's boring. Not the early, like, I mean the early part of the level.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, you mean like when you're starting the level, like a part of the strategy basically is like you have to build up sunlight.
Yeah, so to buy. So the first thing, you're always going to start either with sunflowers and or sun shrooms, and you're going to plant about 3 of them and then the first zombie will show up. So
that's
then you need a tower. And then you're going to plant a few more, and then another zombie is going to show up, like, leading another lane.
I mean, I don't know, but if they didn't do that, it would be super hard to, like, prepare your defenses, though. So I understand why they do it. Like, I don't know, like, how would you get around that? Just by starting with more sunlight in general?
I think so. I think that's a really good question. I just wish they had found ways to mix it up a little bit more so it wasn't quite so the same, like, the beginning of every level, you know?
Okay.
Because I feel like the real interesting parts of the level don't really happen until the midpoint of the level. Once you have like the basic, you know, the sunflowers and then some basic turret and maybe like a few walnuts or something. And then you're figuring out, okay, like how do I use these specific plants to my advantage over the zombies?
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind it that much. It's really not that long.
Yeah, you
but
know.
We're being a little nitpicky here, probably, because we like it so much.
Yeah. No, I agree. This is extremely nitpicky.
Anything else you want to them on? Just kidding.
You know, I'd say there could be some kind of multiplayer in the game, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. That would be really fun, actually.
They go back, I think, in later games, they add some kind of multiplayer. I think for the Xbox Arcade, for example, they had local multiplayer.
Cool.
Just not the PC or tablet versions.
How would you do multiplayer on that? Just like divide the yard in half?
And yeah, well, you could
take half, or
you could have someone playing the plants and someone playing as the zombies.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
In fact, they have mini games where you play as the zombies. I'm like, you could probably have it go both ways where one player was the plants and one player was the zombies. And
yeah. And maybe that's kind of what they were doing with like that some of those spinoff games.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
Because it kind of sounds like the ones where you can control the plants and the zombies, you know, might kind of be like that.
Yeah. Or you could, another idea would be like you could add more lanes and you could have like, two players controlling just the plants.
Yeah.
And that could be kind of fun, where you're building a base together, kind of.
Yeah, it would be really cool to play some of the other spinoff games and see, like, what is different and if they have two-player mode and what it's like and stuff. I think I'll definitely end up playing some of the other games. Do you think you will?
Yeah, probably at some point. I don't know. I'll have to go back and make sure I really didn't like 2 before I say that I didn't like it.
Yeah. We'll have to see how much it is. If it's only like, you know, a few bucks or something, it's not that high of a risk if you don't like it.
That's true. So did you have any strategy for the game? I assume there's probably a lot of strategy.
Yeah, I mean,
this.
That's basically the whole game is strategy, right?
Yeah, real-time strategy game.
Yeah, so there's a ton. It just depends on the level. You know, obviously each level's different. For example, you have like pole vaulting zombies. So there's certain plants that will not let the pole vaulting zombie pole vault over it. So it basically like stop blocks them.
Yeah.
Or for example, there's like these plants, I guess it's a plant, but if you put it in front of a pea shooter, then it makes the peas become fire peas.
Oh, torchwood.
So, yeah, it's torchwood. Yeah. So if you put your pea shooter behind it and the peas go through that, then it turns the peas into fireballs basically.
Oh yeah.
So like that is really helpful. Like, that's another strategic thing that they kind of put in. I don't know. There's a lot of strategy. I don't really even know how to break it down because we'd really have to just go like level by level or zombie by zombie.
Yeah. Well, I kind of have some basic step or some basic things, I think.
Okay.
So when starting a level, you get to choose, you know, like we said, from a limited number of plants. Basically, you will always choose either sunflower or sunshroom to generate sunlight.
Oh, yeah. So, you have to.
Yeah. It's every level, no matter what, pretty much.
And I think if you don't choose one, it will actually prompt, a warning prompt will come. Like, if you accidentally don't pick one, it'll be like, are you sure that you don't want to pick, a sunflower or something, some kind of sun plant?
Yes. So you'll need, you'll need one of those. You'll need a cheap turret, like a pea shooter, a puff shroom or something that you can build early in the game for those early wave zombies.
Yeah.
And then you'll need, you don't always need a defensive plant, but they're usually good to have. I like the walnut or pumpkin or something like that, just to, so your plants aren't getting just torn to pieces.
Yeah.
And after that, you're just kind of balancing firepower with whatever stage specific plants you might need. So yeah, like you were saying, if there's spole bolters, you're probably going to need some tall nuts.
Yeah. Or if there's the balloon zombies, then you need that one cactus that can pop the balloon, or else it will just float over everything.
Either that or the backwards shooting ones. No, because they do they eventually come to the ground, or they just float right into your house?
They float into the, well, if you have a lawnmower there, it sets off the lawnmower. Yeah. But
you're trying to save your lawnmower.
Actually, I was just playing and I forgot to get one of the cactus things, and there was a balloon zombie. And I was like, oh crap. But luckily I figured out there's one plant that this was a fog level, and so there's one plant that if you plant it, it basically turns into a fan, and it blows all the fog away from the level for like a short amount of time.
Yeah, the blower.
But if you do that, it will blow the balloon zombie out. Yeah, and like it didn't come back, so that actually was my saving grace.
You remember the blower.
But I didn't know at first that would like blow it off the level for good. I thought it would just blow it away and then like it would come back, but it didn't, so I was kind of saved on that one.
Yeah. So do you usually have two columns of either sunflowers or sunshrooms? Is that something you do, or is it just me?
So you always do two rows?
Yeah, I almost always do at least two rows.
I always do at least one full row, so I always have at least five, but I feel like 10 is too much. I mean,
we can never have too much sun.
I mean that's true, but I don't know, I usually go with one full back row and then like maybe two or three on like the next row, like not a full row, but like
okay,
so maybe like 7 or 8 sun plants.
Okay,
not 10.
I feel like two columns is like a pretty good, because you know, it's generation, like
I know
you need sun generation.
Yeah, and the more sun that you generate, like the faster you can use all your plants and stuff, so like I definitely get that. But also, sometimes you just need your spots for plants that are actually going to shoot things.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah, I usually try to get the walnuts almost right up to the edge. I think like maybe a space back from the edge, so I can use all that space between there for the regular plants.
Yeah. I really don't even use the walnuts that much. I mean, I do occasionally, but I don't always build like a barrier wall or anything. Do you?
Do you usually use the pumpkin instead?
Actually, I haven't gotten to the pumpkin part yet.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I did already beat the game, like, before. Okay. So I do remember the pumpkins, but this newest playthrough, I haven't gotten to the pumpkin part yet.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I guess the defensive unit isn't as necessary as maybe I'm making it out to be.
I mean, it probably helps. You don't need as many shooter plants if you have a better defense, because like your plants have more time to hit the zombies.
Yeah.
So it probably kind of evens out, like having more plants versus having the barrier, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I get the barrier really close to the edge, so I can still get a bunch of plants in there. I have like 5 or 4 rows or something to work with.
Yeah.
Or columns, sorry.
It's kind of interesting to see like other people's strategies. I was watching some of this on Twitch earlier, and it's just kind of cool to see like how other people do it, you know, because like we all think so differently. And honestly, for this game, you can use a lot of different kinds of strategies and still get through the level. Like, there's not like, oh, you have to do it this way. You can get creative. You can try different combos of stuff, and there's multiple combinations that will work.
Yeah. One of my favorites is like chompers behind walnuts. And then if they're metal, if there are a bunch of zombies that have metal objects, then the magnet shrooms behind the chompers.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It's really satisfying when you come up with a solid plan and you get your garden all laid out like perfectly and it works. It's very satisfying.
Yeah, definitely.
So, did you find anything about the future?
I did. Plants vs. Zombies 3 was soft launched on Android devices for pre-alpha testing on Tuesday, July 16th, 2019 for a limited number of users. On November 18th, 2020, the game was made unavailable to make bigger changes. The game is currently not available, and there is no set release date yet.
Yeah. I read that. So basically, it seemed like they took the feedback that they got, and they were working on like incorporating that feedback to the game.
Yeah. Maybe they didn't. Maybe the users didn't like the game very much, and they
maybe
were like,
not.
They're like, well, looks like we're going to have to scrap a bunch of stuff and redesign, because I mean, that was back in 2019, like July 16th, 2019.
And I would say like maybe because the pandemic, maybe some stuff got delayed, but honestly, like, I feel like video game designing or making video games would be the perfect remote job.
Yeah, you know,
you literally don't like need to be in an office for any reason, and plus, you know, while people were stuck at home, like, I'm sure we were all on our phones a lot more, and like, I've read statistics where people were playing video games a lot more because, you know, you couldn't go out and do stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I'm kind of surprised that they, like, haven't gotten it pushed out yet, because, like, Plants vs. Zombies 2 came out, like, 2013?
Oh, wow.
So it's been a long time. I mean, they have had all these spinoff games, so it's not like they haven't done anything. But, you know, they've had plenty of time to come out with the third one. So.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Another thing I found, it's not technically the future, but it's pretty recent, so I figured I would mention it.
Okay.
Yeah. The Plants vs. Zombies Battle for Neighborville, that was actually made available on the Switch, like, in May. So this is the first one, I think, that's been, like, available to play on the Switch, which is, I think, pretty cool.
Cool, yeah.
Because a lot of times, from, like, what we've learned from doing this podcast is that once a game gets on Switch, like, it could possibly create more opportunities for the game to do like crossover stuff, you know, like,
oh yeah,
maybe we'll see a Plants vs. Zombies Smash Bro character or or something like that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I feel like Smash Bros just gets everything, so it's always a good guess if you're like thinking of what could possibly happen in a video game's future. It's like, oh, maybe their character will be on Smash Bros. Yeah, other than that, there's really not a lot of stuff going on, you know, with Plants vs. Zombies that I could find. You know, not a movie or anything, so.
Yeah.
Did you find anything else about the future?
Nah, not really. Yeah.
So I'm really curious, Eric, did you find the secret zombie? And what was it?
If you did. Yes, I did. I discovered the secret zombie. You discover it playing the campaign the second time, and you discover it on level 410.
Okay.
Which is like the dark level.
Okay.
Like, you know, you see the flashes of lightning. It's pretty much pitch black, and then there'll be like lightning flashes, and you can kind of see stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it appears on that level, but you really don't get a good look at it. It's called the, I think it's called the Zombie Yeti.
Oh, nice. So it's like a Yeti, like a, you know, like the white.
Yeah. I technically saw it, but I didn't really see it much on the stage because, you know, it was so dark and I was focused on, you know, just.
And it doesn't come back in later levels? It's only in that one level?
That's the only, after playing through the campaign the second time, yeah, I didn't see it in any other levels after that either. So I.
It's so random. It's like, okay, let's unlock this zombie, but just for this one round or whatever.
Yeah, maybe it's in other levels later, or maybe it's in the third playthrough more. I don't know.
So is it like, you know, like a Yeti, the mythical creature, like from the Antarctica or whatever?
Yeah.
So it's like it that looks like a creature, Yeti. But yeah. It's a zombie? That's yeah. kind of cool.
Yeah, it's Yeti zombie. Yep.
Neat.
So are you ready for the next game?
Yes. It's, maybe?
I'm really excited about it.
Well, I'm not.
You don't even... Do you know what it is?
No.
But you're not excited about it.
I have a feeling you're going to make it really hard.
I don't think this so is I don't think this is that hard.
Okay. So what is the next game?
Okay, so the next game is going to be Puzzle Quest Challenge of the Warlord.
Okay. I like puzzles. I like puzzle games.
Yeah, and there's a version of the game out for Switch under the title Puzzle Quest The Legend Returns, which includes Challenge of the Warlords and the expansion. So
okay, so I'll be playing it on Switch. Probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a Switch game, and I played this game in college, and it's a really good game.
Cool. So I'm guessing it's a puzzle game, but is it like is it like anything I played before?
Oh,
or
yeah,
something
yeah.
that I would know?
So Bejeweled, you know.
Oh yeah.
Think of that, but with RPG elements.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, it's a really good one. I liked it a lot when I played it. And the challenge is going to be
oh no.
Complete your citadel.
What's that?
So you got to buy all the upgrades for your citadel in the game.
Is that like an animal or something?
No, it's a building.
Oh, okay.
Citadel.
Oh, I've never heard that word before. Sorry, my bad.
It's all right. Yeah, so just buy all the upgrades for it, like within the game.
Okay, is it going to cost me money?
Sorry. No, it will not cost you real life money. It will cost you in-game currency, but okay. you get that by playing the game.
Hey, you never know. Games these days, they like to like penny pinch.
This is an older game. This is probably, I think this is around the same age as Plants vs. Zombies.
Okay. Yeah, you did say like when you were in college. That was a long time ago.
It keeps getting longer.
Yeah. All right, I can't wait to dive in. We'll see. I'm pretty sure I can crush it.
Yeah, I think you'll do okay with it.
We'll see.
It's a fun game.
Cool. Well, we'll see everyone next time.
Yeah, see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
And as always, if you like what you heard, be sure to follow us, subscribe, and maybe even leave a little review. Also, we have Instagram, Facebook, Twitch, and all of those things. So please get on there, interact with us, tell us what you think of the game, and we want to know what you have to say.